Welcome to QWERTY Writing Life Podcast, where we have candid chats about our creative lives. This is Meg.
And I'm Joy.
For more information about our podcast, monthly newsletter, or author resource series, visit us at QWERTYWritingLife.com. That's QWERTY, spelled Q-W-E-R-T-Y.
It's the first six letters on your keyboard.
So, are you ready? Grab your tea.
Or your coffee. And let's chat.
Hello, everyone. It's another week.
Hello and welcome.
Today, we're going to talk about benefits of writing across formats. But before we do that, let's address the elephant in the room, which is me
and her
at the same place at the same time.
Yay!
As we record a podcast, which is phenomenal.
We would rather do it this way.
This would be the ideal. Yeah. Like, every time we do a podcast. But unfortunately, we live in different states.
Yeah, there's that.
Tonight, though, we have a talk with a college creative writing group, which is exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. So we are here together, and we will be doing that tonight. Mm-hmm. But right now, we're doing this.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. So before we talk about benefits of writing across the formats, let's talk about our creative weeks. So, Joy.
I can see your eyes.
I know. Fun. What did you do?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So honestly, the last week or two has been a lot of forward thinking. So thinking about future plans and stuff like that. So it has been creative, definitely. Just not in a way that I anticipated it that way. But the next week, I will be focusing on prepping for my summer reading challenge. So if you love to read, I hope you guys will check that out. I'll put a link in the show notes for you. I already have my countdown. Countdown to summer reading is already live on that page. I'm super excited. And then also, I've been thinking through a potential book tour of sorts. I know that sounds really nifty. It's probably not as nifty as it sounds. And I don't know that it will really be much of a tour necessarily. Anyway, something that I'm thinking through, communicating with some bookstores and things like that for when One Good Thing comes out next month. So, or actually, as you guys are watching this, it might be this month. It comes out March 20th.
Book tour, that sounds really fun. I know you were like, this probably not as fun, but it sounds fun to me.
Well, so I had big plans. So that's another one of those things that kind of has changed.
Okay.
So I did have big plans. You know, this is the fourth and final book of the collection. So I was like, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to make this like a full book tour thing. Had all these plans. And then my hubby is doing something that is amazing, and I'm super proud of him, but it kind of has changed a lot of things. So there's that. So I don't know how much of a tour, so to speak, it's going to end up being, but I do hope to at least have a few events. So mm-hmm. We shall see.
Well, I just think that your kiddos might need a job shadow during their homeschool time.
I know, there is that.
Could even pay them if they needed to carry a box or something.
Yeah, I don't know. There you go.
No. You go. Well, I know that there are a lot of challenges that you're probably going through, but I do hope that you get some sort of big party for Carolina's Legacy because it is amazing. And you've grown so much as an author and as a publisher through this whole process. And I'm very proud of you.
Aw, thank you. Tears.
No.
All right. So moving along, yes. Tell us about your creative week.
I've been away on a work trip for most mm-hmm. of the week. So let's just be honest with that. Okay. But also there's been a lot of questions that have come up, but you know, part of it because of the work trip, but also part of it just because, you know, we grow in life and we change sometimes or things aren't fulfilling in a way that we expected them to be, or they are fulfilling in a way that was unintended, and you know, things like that. So I've just been doing a lot of soul searching and a little bit of researching in just how we make decisions and what needs to go into a decision that we make. And of course, like, how can we glorify, because I'm a Christian, how can I glorify God in the decision making? And if I do end up changing something in my life or building something different or building something on top of, you know, those are all really big decisions to make. And I have a family, to have other people in my life to consider when I make a decision too. So that's always a lot of pressure on me to, you know, because there probably would be things that I would decide if it was just me, you know, mm-hmm. not in a necessarily good way, because sometimes I can vouch it would probably be a bad way. But so I'm just trying to learn a little bit more about that. I know it seems a little bit late in life to be learning about decision making, but I do feel as if I'm putting a lot of stress and anxiety into this process, and I want it to be more of a revelation, kind of enlightening, epiphany kind of a thing, rather than a dredge. So. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the enlightenment of it all, I guess, instead of the other. I don't know. Does that sound right?
Yes. We have much to discuss. I feel as though we're in a similar situation and haven't been able to talk yet.
Okay. We're going to dinner before our talk, so we'll chat.
Oh my goodness.
Be watching out for the newsletter, guys.
Oh yeah. You never know what's going to be in there.
But okay. Well, you know, it's been a neat week. So I hope it's been a neat week for you guys too. But let's go ahead and get into our topic so that we can discuss how writing across formats can better your creative process and who you are as an artist. So often when we're writing across genres, it's discussed in writer circles and it's focused on our challenges, of which there are certainly many. However, we wanted to highlight some benefits of writing widely as well.
So May and I write across genres, and we have learned to embrace that. As we've done so, we've discovered unexpected blessings along the way. Now, first, writing across genres and formats gives us alternative viewpoints and additional skills that we may not otherwise have. So to give an example of this, I'm actually going to go away from the genre talk, like talking about books and such, and share a little bit from my background and my business side. So my background is in journalism and digital copywriting and public relations. So things like that. So what the background that I have, what it really has given me that I can use as an author now are a few things. It helps me with decision making. Apparently not big life decision making, because obviously I need some help with that. But like decision making when it comes to writing an article, or like, you know, what sources to talk to or what to include or what angle to take or things like that. It also really instilled in me the ability to finish things, because as a reporter, you work on deadline and they are very tight deadlines. And so you have to produce something by that deadline, or you don't have a job, or at the very least, you have a very unhappy editor. So, and then another thing is it helped me learn how to ask the right questions. And that's a huge thing for reporters, but that's also a huge thing for authors. So one of the really cool things that I discovered as I was doing more of my freelance writing, which that's where I did most of the digital copywriting, where I wrote blogs for business owners and things like that, content for websites, you know, those kinds of things. One of the best recommendations and words of praise that I ever got was from a business owner who I worked for 10 years. And she said that it was incredible. Every time I would write a blog for her or an award entry or whatever she needed from me, she said that it was like I was writing as her. Like it sounded like her. And that was a huge praise to me. And I appreciated so much that she said that. But it also made me realize that I really had gotten to a point where I could take things that I wasn't familiar with. She ran a high-end drapery and design business. I have never made draperies. Okay. I'm not a design person by any stretch of the imagination. But I learned so much from her work, and I was able to pull from the emails and the conversations that I had with her, seeing her work, seeing where she would go for inspiration and things like that. And I was able to adapt to her voice. And I feel like that definitely is something that I've brought into my fiction writing, because I'm able to adapt to any voice that's needed. Also, I can kind of encompass a writing style that fits whatever audience or platform I'm going for. You know, it aids in writing different characters with the dialogue of different characters and things like that. So that's one thing that just kind of pulling away, like I said, from that genre and talking about books, looking back to what I've had in my past, that's a way that that different type of writing or that different format of writing has really helped with what I write today.
That is so good. Yeah. Well, and just to add just a smidge onto that with the format that you write. So I also have a background a little bit in journalism, not as mm-hmm. extensive as Joy does, but I do have a lot of background in media and marketing writing. Mm-hmm. And it's a totally different animal than writing prose or poetry or any kind of like literary type work that's more artistic and so on and so forth. But it does allow you to kind of be able to see things like you acknowledge the challenges, but then you also like acknowledge the strengths of whatever you're trying to market. And then you work on both. Right. And you get to highlight the things that you choose to highlight in particular ways. And we do that like subconsciously, I think, absolutely for our literary writing, but also sometimes we want to be a little tricky. So being able to say, to be able to highlight and know what to highlight whenever you're writing something and you're trying to weave the story really well, you might highlight something. For example, I've not written a cozy mystery, but here's my example. Like you want to highlight things that are going to maybe throw the reader off their path a little bit, you know? But in the background in that, I've exercised that portion of my brain that can pick out what to highlight and what not to highlight. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I feel I do quite well in some cases. Yes. Awesome. Joy will have to tell me particularly because of the critique partner thing. But
I will be keeping an eagle eye out for that.
Oh, yes. So just a smidge about the format thing. So now we're going to go into like our strengths with words. So writing in different formats, and this is particularly a genre thing. Mm-hmm. Allows us to strengthen our words. And so an example of this from the genre perspective is the writing of my poetry and how it affects my prose writing. And so we're flipping from one genre to another. Mm-hmm. And poetry to me, I feel like I could probably pick out the books that are either written by poets or authors who have a love of poetry. Mm-hmm. And I think that in both cases that there are poets and people who have a love of poetry who recognize honing in the exact word, the perfect word, like getting things into a crisp, concise package, how beneficial that is to prose writing as well. And so, yes, there are some times when we want to add in all of the words, I'm sure. And it just depends on like your character and, you know, the type of book you're writing and all of that. But I do find that whenever you have a simple, small sentence with a big punch, like in the message or theme or meaning area, that those are the ones that make you stop, reread it, highlight it, underline it, and potentially want it tattooed on your skin, you know? And those are the ones that really kind of get me in the gut. And I think that writing poetry allows me to do that well, to do it well, yes, but also to do it a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. There is a bird that is so loud.
I think it's great. If y'all can hear that, it's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, he is having a day, man.
Mm-hmm. We are recording outside, and so we just wanted to give you some ambiance. So you might hear a train. There's some wildlife in the area. Maybe an air conditioning or a heater that pops on when it's at random.
You just missed the yowling cats and a little bit of a cat fight.
You did. Mm-hmm. You did. Yes, it's true. And also a bit of a whining dog who wanted to play with the cats while they were fighting, but that did not happen. We did not allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. So, so just enjoy the ambiance. It's the real life of wordy writing life.
Exactly. We hope you get to create outside because, you know what, it's actually pretty fantastic, I think.
And it's the imperfections that let us have enjoyment, correct?
Yes.
Yes, we're saying that. We're saying that. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But So if you are a lover of poetry, or if you wanted to try your hand at poetry, I think you could probably walk away with some stronger words, some more powerful that will stick with the reader a little bit better. And if you're in nonfiction or in some sort of writing medium, then I think that you would probably be able to clearly and concisely get to the point, which is really important in nonfiction.
It is, definitely. And then the third thing, this really is very closely tied or very similar to what May just said, but it's taking a slight step back. So third, we learn to hone in on what's important. Okay? That whole concept or idea of packing a punch with a very strong word, when we hone in on what's really important, think about when you write flash fiction. Now, you may have never written flash fiction before, but
you should try.
Yes. I would say this is something that would really help you with that. If you are someone who struggles with figuring out, you know, what is the point? What is our theme, maybe even? Or what is the most important scene to show, you know, X, Y, and Z about a character or things like that. So if you only have 500 words to get a story out there, a full story, you're going to think, what's important? What is even necessary? Is it actually necessary or not? So each scene should become this complete nugget, right? And this goes back to asking the right questions. So if you write longer fiction or nonfiction or whatever it is that you happen to write, if you challenge yourself with a few short pieces, this is going to help you figure out what is the most important thing to include in your story.
And you might have to overwrite to underwrite in this situation.
Oh, that is true. Mm-hmm. Yes, because that is okay.
Mm-hmm. I've had to write flash fiction before, what ended up for me was a 500 word thing. I think I wrote about 1,000 words, but then I found I was able to pick out the things that maybe I could use some descriptor words to put in front of, like, instead of explaining that the main character was kind of nomadic and that the mom was the reason, like, you could pick some adjectives and stuff to put along with it that really kind of pull everything together, like that express that nomadic lifestyle, that express that the mom's on the run, that kind of a thing. And then when you read that as a reader, you take those adjectives and it's like, oh, this sentence is there and it's small, it's concise. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have to go back and be like, wait a minute, they're on the run, you know, they have no home.
I love that.
So that's one reason why, like, you're honing in on what's most important is really cool in flash fiction. And editing is also super important, I think, in flash fiction too. And those are really, that's another thing that you can learn.
That's a whole other topic too, right? About the importance of editing and editing and how it can help with both of these two things that we've said, strengthening your words, mm-hmm. you know, finding that one powerful word that can replace 20,
right?
It does happen, seriously. Mm-hmm. And honing on what is really important in that particular scene.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Now we're going to talk about how pushing ourselves into other formats keeps our brains elastic, which is kind of cool, right? We're always learning and growing. So different types of writing on a daily basis. And as far as writing experiences, for me, it's like academic writing. So I work at a higher education institution, and so I do a lot of academic writing. I do promotional writing because I also work on the promotional side of that job. Friendly writing, because you have to write with your colleagues along with emails, and we also use Microsoft Teams as well, and so you want those to be friendly and also professional as well, but you know, in between colleagues it can be more friendly. And then I also lead a staff of 11, so there's a different type of writing that I have to do as a supervisor to staff. Mm-hmm. I also have to write differently to my supervisors. And so to my bosses, I have to write a little bit differently to them. You want to make sure that you edit those really, really well and that there's not really a way that you can accidentally get a bad meaning out of the way that you've decided to order your words. So ask me how I know. And And then there's also a different way that we approach any kind of writing when we're asking for something versus like when we're just informing about something. So just a whole bunch of different ways that you write on a daily basis if you're in some sort of work situation. And we adapt our needs, right? We adapt our needs to our audiences. And sometimes, well, actually, I would say most of the time, it is unconscious when we do that. And, you know, we do that with our speech in human interactions as well. So it's not just in writing. Like whenever I speak to these particular audiences, colleagues, supervisors, staff members, et cetera, et cetera, I adjust my speech in the same way that I adjust my writing styles as well.
And again, I don't think we realize when we do that, but we do.
Absolutely. It is something that it's just a part of being in a community. It's a part of being around other people. Mm-hmm. I think the only people who would not have to learn how to do this would be like a hermit, in which I would like to apply for.
Yes. I've always had a dream of a cabin on top of a mountain with just me and my cat.
Okay. Can I be in the next cabin?
We can wave every now and then.
That's right. We don't have to talk. We'll just fill it with this. Like writing today.
With our cat.
Yeah. We'll come up with some sort of like sign language that's just like a QWERTY sign language. So we'll know all the things. Or we could just like learn ASL. That would work too.
True.
But then we would have to consciously or unconsciously like to communicate in a different way. So even if we made our own QWERTY sign language or learned ASL, we would still be doing the same thing. So actually, maybe.
Any kind of communication. I do believe. Yes.
Even your body language.
Oh, very much.
Very much so. Yeah. This could go deeper. Yes. But let's keep it right where it is so we can actually get you. But, you know, I guess a really big question is why do we do this? You know, but we change possibly because we're trying to communicate well with the people or the persons that we are trying to communicate with. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. You know, the core of who you are is the thread that connects between the different ways that you communicate with different people. Mm-hmm. And so so you have a message that you want to send to somebody else, and you're going to try to send it in the best way possible so it can be understood and possibly even responded to in the best way possible as well. And you can't discount individuality. So that was that core sentence that I was just talking about. Like the core of who you are is the thread that connects between the different ways you communicate with different people. And I said that twice because this was something that really kind of bothered me, I think, because I noticed at some point in time in my adulthood that I did like have different ways that I communicated with people. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel as if I was being different people to like a different person to different audiences that I was talking to. And it was at some point that I realized that I am at the core of all of the ways that I communicate with these different audiences. And I'm not doing it in a way that is malicious or manipulative or anything like that. And so I was able to come to terms with the fact that we just do this because we're trying to be in a community and communicate.
And, you know, like you were saying earlier with your examples, the way that you're going to communicate information to a staff member is going to be different from the way you put in a request for something with your boss. It just is. So we can't communicate the exact same way with different people. So in communication, we're trying to put out and say things the best for whoever's hearing it as well. So it's not just what we're saying or how we're saying it, but we're also keeping them in mind as we're doing it.
Right. And I would say that one of our human instincts, I'm going off script here, guys. So, you know, wowee.
and I just off script. Sorry.
No. It was so good. And I want to answer that. But I do want to say, I would probably venture to say that one of our greatest human needs or wants is to hear and also to be heard.
Right.
And so all of this is done in a way to not only honor the message that you're trying to say, but also to try to honor yourself and the person that you're speaking to as well. Mm-hmm. So any creative knows that whatever you see in your head, as far as like what you want to express, has to go through all of these filters and all of these different changes before it comes out of your mouth, before it comes out of your fingers, before it comes out of, you know, however you create, right? Well, it's the same way with the words that are in your head and the things that you would like to communicate. It has to go through, it starts up here, and it has to go through all of these filters and things that, and by the time it comes out of your mouth, it maybe is a bit of a, we try to get it in the best holistic way possible, but we fail sometimes, you know? But that doesn't mean we stop trying. Mm-hmm. In our art and also in our lives whenever we're trying to communicate with people. So keep going. So, so you're still you, though you hone your words and actions for the needs of the people that you're communicating with. And I was able to come to terms with that because I could still see me in there and I could see that my intentions were good. Mm-hmm. I will say that there is a bit of a word of caution here. So if you step outside your fundamental standards, and we talked about fundamental standards in some previous episodes, so we'll put some links in the show notes for that if you're wondering what those things are. Mm-hmm. But in very, very short, there's so much more to this, but I'm going to just say in very, very short, if you step outside of like your values or your integrity, then you step into a place that's not genuine and you kind of become counterfeit. But the point is, tailoring our words and actions to our audiences keeps our brains elastic and contributes to our ability to share different stories and characters with our readers, but also it keeps the core of ourselves in what we create. So in this, realizing what we're doing and how it affects our writing makes us confident and curious to see how we can expand our abilities to do so.
Oh, I love all that. That was fantastic. So the fifth thing that we came up with was, as we are writing across genres or formats or whatever it is, we discover or hone new abilities and develop a wider range of skills. So with wider ranges, you can bring the strengths of writing suspense, for example, into your historical fiction, practicing writing humor, grief, life emotions or reactions, all those things, those are only going to enhance your art. It gives you growth as a writer, and bringing in all of this wide range of skills, these new abilities, all of these things really adds depth to our art.
Mm. Yeah. I think that it's a lot faster for us to utilize these talents and skills that all of these different formats and genres give to us if we are able to recognize them.
That's true.
So just be observant whenever you're doing things in life. Even if you're not creating at the moment, just recognize the things that you are good at. Mm-hmm. Recognize the challenges that you have. Maybe try to strengthen those challenges and see how they can become skills in your creative life as well as in your professional.
Well, and I love that you said that. And I want to just toss in here, if you have a critique partner, if you're a writer, or if you have just readers who have given you feedback, this is a great way to discover what it is you're good at. Because sometimes we can be a little blind to what we're good at or what we need to work on.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where these people in our lives really help. Mm-hmm. You know, they can let you know, hey, you write humor really well. And you may have never picked up on that. But now you realize, oh, I do this well. Now, how do I do this? And then through that process, you start to notice and you get even better. But then you're also able to share your abilities and what you're good at with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And be on the lookout for, you know, critiques of certain things. If you start to see a pattern, then you can pick up on the things that you need to work on more and look for those people around you who do those things well and then learn from them.
That's right. This doesn't have to stop with just you as an individual. It can go into your community, your creative community, and you can kind of help each other learn how to do things just super, super well.
Yeah.
So we're sure that you can come up with a multitude of other benefits for writing across the formats. And so these are just the ones that we could come up with in our brainstorming session to share with you today. But if you do come up with something different, share them with us. We'd love to hear. You can email us at qwertywritinglife@gmail.com. At gmail.com. You can also sign up for our newsletter. I believe that there's a link for that at wordywritinglife.com.
Yes.
Okay. Joy.
Yes.
You want to give us a challenge?
Oh, yes. I love challenges. So we challenge you if you do write in multiple formats, identify a benefit or two. Toss the thought around in your mind. Jot it in a journal or send it to us through email, like May said. We would love to hear about it. Now, if you don't write in other formats, would you like to? We challenge you to branch out, try something new, test the waters, have some fun, and keep your mind open to what benefits may come. And the flash fiction thing that we mentioned earlier, that's a really short thing that you could try out. So it doesn't have to be long and complicated. Just putting that out there.
It doesn't. But do remember that this is an exercise. And so whenever you first start out for 500 words, if you decide to do the flash fiction, when you first start out for 500 words and you write 500 words and you're like, this is a mess, it will be a mess. just be prepared for that. I don't know if that's the best one to start out with, to be honest with you. I have a lot of emotions attached to flash fiction. But it does end up really being an excellent exercise and an excellent exercise to repeat, because I can guarantee you that if you can get through the first one, your second one's going to be better. And if you can get through the second one, your third one's going to be better. So let me just say that about flash fiction. Don't give up.
There you go.
Start with the haiku.
Yes. Please share your haikus. I need them in my life. Oh, goodness. Well, we hope that you guys have a fantastic week.
Yes. And go make something.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope this episode encouraged you. Like all creatives, we thrive on consumer recommendations. So please consider leaving us a review and sharing our podcast with your creative friends.
If you'd like to continue this conversation, visit us on our website at QWERTYWritingLife.com or on Instagram at QWERTYWritingLife.